Blog Talk Radio.
I'm just so broke, you won't believe. Can't get a dollar out of me. And as far as I can see, I'm losing control like a bad disease. No, I just can't get relief. I've been shot down by the life police. Cause every day I try to rise, but I can't succeed. Can anybody find a cure for me? You can be bitter, bitter, bitter. Or you can be better, better, better. When life gives you lemons, instead of champagne, don't worry, little children, and don't complain. Whoa, remember your golden, the bite of sugar cane. When life gives you lemon, take lemonade.
Hama, 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 hey, hama, hama. Hama, 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 hey, hama, hama. Hama, 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 hey, hama, hama. Hama, 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 hama.
Now every day is like a brand new year. I throw my hands up in the air like I just don't care. I'm on walking down the street feeling like, oh yeah,
oh yeah.
Well, at the bottom of the gas now, I see clear. So now I laugh just a little more. I'm doing much taller than I did before. I know I'm not where I need to be, but I thank God that I'm not where I used to be. I used to be bitter, 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 and now I feel better, better, better. Well, life gives you lemon, instead of champagne. Don't worry, little children, and don't complain. Whoa, remember your golden, your bite of sugar cane. When life gives you lemon, take lemonade.
Hama, 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 hama.
I was saved for a reason that I can't explain. Got something new to believe in. I'm awakened again. If I can just get out of my own way. When life gives you lemon, instead of champagne, don't worry, little children, I don't complain. Whoa, remember your golden, the bite of sugar cane. When life gives you lemon, take lemonade.
I'm a man of many talents. I'm more talented than Alex Boyer. More people ask for my autograph than for him. They're not going to tell you that. That little, like, rap part, where we're like, no, 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 lemonade, no. So dumb. It's already been done, like, a billion times. But luckily, I was in the shot, because I saved it. Redemption. You're welcome, Alex.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Delicious Talk Radio. This segment, If Life Gives You Lemons, Make a Martini Show. And I'm your host, Gail St. Francis Johnson, formerly known as Miss Delicious. This show is for the mature listening audience. We promote authors, business owners, entrepreneurs, and persons of interest at no charge. If you would like to be a guest on the show, email me at gjdelicious37@gmail.com. Again, that email address is gjdelicious37@gmail.com with your name, topic, and phone number and the best time to call, and I will contact you. Sit back, relax, because I've got you. First, I want to just say I am having the hardest time with my laptop. I'm not even on my laptop. I'm doing this through my my cell phone, so hopefully we'll get through this. And I know I've been gone for a while, but I've just been doing a few things and going a few places. I've had a few deaths in the family, so I had to go back to Washington, D.C. I had some problems. My daughter was going through her little storms, and I was right there with her for that. And, you know, just different things I've been getting involved in and doing different things. My friend lost her son last Tuesday, so I'm a little, you know, going through that as well, because like I said, it's been quite a few deaths since the beginning of this year in my family or, you know, my friends. So, you know, just taking some time off. I know I've been gone for a while, and hopefully I can, you know, do this maybe at least not, if I can't do it every week, at least two or three times out of the month, because I really do miss talking to you guys and, you know, getting your responses and questions and, you know, just having a good conversation of whatever the topic may be. And this evening, I'm on here just ranting. but before we get to that, I want to express what I did the Easter week. I was in Kentucky. Our church has our annual women's retreat. We haven't had it for 2 years because of the COVID, but when we got together in Kentucky last Wednesday, I just had the best time of my life. It was really, really good to see all the sisters from the different states, you know, to be out of North Carolina, you know, meeting different people. And I even met a Facebook friend of mine who lives in Kentucky, so that was also a little joy as well. And the theme of it for this women's retreat, because we always have a theme, we always have, you know, colors that we wear. And Kentucky, they had the Kentucky Derby, so we did have our big hats. We wore the big hats, you know, because when they go to the Derby, those women have hats. And some of those women's hats were OMG. One lady had on a hat, and it was gorgeous. It was a big, 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 big hat. And, well, I'm kind of, people say I'm nosy or whatever, but I just had to ask her, you know, how much did you pay for that hat? Not like that, but, you know, I got it out there. And she said $100. And I know some of those hats were a lot more than $100 as well, because I've met two sisters from D.C. who makes hats. And those hats that she had were just gorgeous, and they all were one of a kind. And there was another young lady there that made hats. Quite a few people there that would make hats in these little, I forgot what you call them, but they're like little hats that you can either print on with a clip or wear with a headband. I had one of those as well. But anyway, the theme was He Calms the Storms Within. And some of the sisters got up and, you know, gave their testimonies and spoke about storms that, you know, each individual, as we are, go through and how to handle them and, you know, what God expects and, you know, how God is going to always be there for us regardless. And He's never going to give us more than what we can bear. Some people know how to handle their storms, and other people, you know, just don't. They get frustrated and upset and, you know, just don't even take the time to go to God and, you know, stay with God. Be still with it, you know, because He knows what we need. He knows the things that we need. And if we ask Him for anything, the things that we need, and He feels that, you know, we are He gives us, in other words, he gives us the things that we need. Now, don't be going asking for a Cadillac or mansion and all those types of things, because He will provide you with shelter. And if you need transportation, that, because He definitely provided me with my car. When I first got down here, I didn't have transportation, and they don't have the subway down here. And some of the places you go, you'd be on the bus for the longest time. And when you get to that stop, you got to get off and walk a mile or so to get to the next. I mean, it's really crazy. So is people who live in North Carolina, Fayetteville, definitely need a car. And I prayed on it, and God gave me the car that I asked for, you know, so. And, you know, as far as going through the storms, I learned a lot. I can't really quote Bible scriptures, but I can paraphrase some of them. And one of the scriptures that I learned this morning in Bible study was when they were going through the, Jesus was in a boat and he was asleep, and a fierce storm came. No, he wasn't on the boat. I'm sorry. I think he was on land, I think. If I'm wrong, it's because I really, like I said, I can't quote Bible scriptures. But anyway, and they were afraid. So they woke him up and told him, you know, that there was a bad storm. So Jesus stood up and said, "Peace, be still." And the storm just weathered away. And Peter, well, he didn't know that. I don't think he knew that it was Jesus that was on the water or something like that. But anyway, Jesus told him to walk to him. And Peter began to walk on the water, but then he lost his faith because he started thinking about, "I'm not going to make it." He got afraid, and that's when he began to go down, and Jesus, you know, caught him by the hand. But if you keep the faith, if you have a strong belief and a strong faith in God, trust me, he will reward you for that. So I've been through so many storms, you know, before I became baptized again when I moved down here, and didn't know how to handle them. I would get angry, frustrated, disappointed, depressed, and everything else. But now I'm to a point, you know, I just go to God for anything and just be still about it, because he does things in his time, and all we have to do is be patient. So that's what I'm learning, to be patient. I'm not saying I'm 100% patient about everything, because just like when my computer still isn't working right, I wanted to throw this computer out the window, but I need my computer, so I'm just sitting here looking at it, and I don't know what's wrong with it, but it was working okay last night. Now all of a sudden, because I want to do a radio show, it's acting cuckoo and crazy. But anyhow, I do appreciate the callers that are on the line. I don't recognize the numbers, but I think one of the numbers is my sister Ruby, who lives in South Carolina. Hey, Ruby. And anytime you guys want to chime in or have something to say or want to make a comment or ask a question, hit the number 1, and I'll bring you in, and you can, you know, say whatever you have to say. Now, like I said, this show, I'm doing it from my phone, so I don't know if I could, you know, play any music or anything. This is the first time I've ever had to go through a situation like this. Okay, so now the first rant that I wanted to speak about was the, I think it was it the Grammys or the, let me see, the Grammys or the, I forgot whether it was, I don't think it was the Grammys, or whatever, the show that Will Smith has smacked Chris Rock. Now, everybody's saying, well, everybody has their own opinion, and they have a right for to say whatever it is that they want to express, you know, what they feel about it. But my opinion, as far as that was concerned, was totally unnecessary. Because, number one, I don't think that Chris Rock knew that Jada had alopecia. You know, because it's not like, you know, they are trying to find out what's going on with this person, that person. And, you know, maybe he didn't even know. I really do believe that he didn't know, because I don't think he would have said what he said if he knew that she had alopecia. But see, because Jada is, to me, And I've watched movies that she's been in and seen on her Red Table Talk and different things like that. And she seems like a very aggressive person. She seems like a person who self-centered. And she also is a person that, to me, has no morals. Because when she had sex with her son's friend and then tried to justify it by saying it was an entanglement, it was an out-out adulterous affair that she had. And supposedly her husband, Will, gave his blessings for that little boy and her to have sex. And it also was stated that they were in an open marriage. And I'm quite sure, you know, you're familiar with open marriage, what an open marriage is. And Jada just seems like the type who, you know, would do a lot of unscrupulous things. Now, if she does or doesn't, this is just my opinion. You know, and then some of the movies she's been in, how, you know, because they put people how they act according to their character in these movies. And she, I don't know, it's just something about her. Because when I first saw, well, I had only turned it on when it was basically got to almost to that point, because I saw the Wanda Sykes and Amy Schuler and the other young lady come out, and then Chris Rock comes out, and you know, he said, "Jada, I love you. See you in the next G.I. Jane." Now that could have went one or two ways. Will Smith laughed. Everybody was laughing, you know, because that's what comedians do. They make people laugh, or either they get booed, but that's what comedians do. So Will was laughing, and Jada, she rolled her eyes. If looks could kill, Will would have been dead. So Will probably thought in his mind, uh-oh, I better do something about this, you know. So then that's when he gets up, goes up to the stage. And when he was walking up there, something, you know, I just said, well, why is he, what is he going to do? You know, but then when he slapped Chris Rock, to me, at first I thought it was a joke. Then when he sat down and said, keep my wife's blankety blank name out of your mouth. And he said it twice. And I said, wow, that was really serious. And I know Chris felt like melting on that stage. I know he did, because he didn't, you know, buck it at Will Smith, or, you know, really didn't even say anything as far as, you know, what are you putting your hands on me for, you know. He had no right, even, you know, and then people saying, well, he was protecting Jada. Now, I could understand if Chris had slapped Jada and then Will Smith had jumped on Chris. But he just made a remark. Jada could have took that remark and ran with it, because she's a black woman, and you know the G.I. Jane, she was Demi Moore, which was a white woman. I would have stood up and I would have said, yes, sir, and I'm going to be the best G.I. Jane they ever had. But instead, she rolling her eyes and, but, you know, what goes around comes around. I know he would not have slapped Steve Harvey. He would not have slapped any other comedian that was up there. He would not have went up there and did that, because you know what? They would have been fighting. They would not, he would have not. And then for them to let him go back and sit in his seat, and then give him an award? Oh, no, uh-uh. He would have been escorted out of there in handcuffs. And Chris Rock, he's not pressing charges, you know, because for whatever reason, I don't know, but he's not pressing charges. But I really hate to say this, but if it was me, I would be pressing charges, ironing charges, creasing charges, starching charges. I would have gotten so deep in his pockets, he wouldn't have known what happened. Because sometimes you have to show people, and people like that, you know, the best way to get to them is through their money. Because they really hate, you know, that to happen. But that's what I would have did. But I guess Chris Rock had his reasons for not, you know, doing what he, for not pressing charges. Then he gets up there, Will gets up there, and he says stuff like, he wanted to apologize to the Academy, apologize to this and that. Everything except for Chris Rock. That should have been the first thing that came out of his mouth. And see, he was crying because he was hurt behind all the things that Jada has put him through, all the things he's been through. You know, that was his time to let it out. Because it really wasn't about Jada that he went up there and did what he did. He was releasing frustration and, you know, just taking it out on Chris Rock. But like I said, what goes around comes around. Then he went to the party. They said they asked him to leave, but he refused to leave. Well, you know what you do when people refuse to do something in your establishment? You call the police. You know, he had, and then they're going to give him an award. But they're saying that they're thinking about taking it back, they're going to do this and do that. Now, I think it was the Academy Awards. I blame them for that. Because, number one, he should have been chastised. As soon as he did that, someone should have, I know they have security in there. Someone, a security guard should have went up on that stage, escorted Will Smith out of there. But no, they let him sit there and call him up for an award, and he had this long, drawn-out speech and crying. And but, you know, it was out of all the frustration that he's been through, because there was so much talking about they was getting a divorce, they was going through this, they was going through that, Jada was doing this, Jada was doing that, the kids are this, and all this, you know, just crazy, you know. But like I said, that was just too much. And then Chris, I understand, I heard on a radio show the other day that Chris Rock was, you know, when he was coming up, he was beat up mostly every other day, made fun of and picked on and all this whole kind of stuff, to the point where he had to seek mental health for that. You know, then they got him to a place where he had adjusted and, you know, felt like that would never happen to him again. And then here comes this fool, Will Smith, and slapping him. What man does that? You know, and I'm kind of turned off about Will Smith right now, you know, because I really didn't appreciate that. That was just too much. Because, and then they let him get away with it. So they say something about taking him, he's resigned from something, motion picture something. But whatever, he got all them, he ain't got to work no more. He don't have to make another penny for the rest of his life, because he's comfortable. He has enough money. But like, if I was Chris Rock, I'd be getting some of that money too, because that was not right at all what he did to Chris Rock. But when Chris Rock did his concerts, went on and did his little shows, they were sold out. So that was a blessing for him. You know, because I guess people wanted to see him and ask him about it or whatever. But he's, you know, he made a joke about it. But I know that he was totally, totally humiliated, because I would have been if that had happened to me. First of all, I think if he had slapped me, we would have been fighting. That's the old me. Yeah, because the old me, oh, no. He would not have gotten away with that. But, you know, people are people, and, you know, I think he just thought that this is my chance to get my frustration out, because he was crying. It was not the kind of cry when, you know, they cry when they're happy or joyous or whatever. He was crying because he was hurt. He was hurt, and he was hurt by all the things that he's going through with him and his wife. And, you know, maybe they were going to get a divorce, or maybe Jada said, you're not going to divorce me. You know, but I don't know. But she seems like that type. She seems like that type that would say something like that. You're not going to divorce me. You're stuck with me. And I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. But, you know, what goes around comes around. And I was really shocked. I was really shocked when I saw that. I was really shocked. Because, like I said, when I first saw him going up there, I didn't know what was going to happen, what was going on. But when he slapped him, I thought it was, you know, just an act or whatever. Then when he sat down and said what he said, keep my wife's effing name out your mouth. And then the things he was saying, like, we need to protect these women. And what did that have to do with his award? You know, because if you listen to him, he's basically saying things about protecting, you know, these women, and he protected the women. And, you know, in other words, he needs to protect Jada from people who are talking about her and putting her down and dragging her name through the mud, you know. But if that's what he wanted to do, he didn't have to hit Chris Rock. What point did that make? None. None whatsoever, because Chris Rock is not the only one that talks about her. The guy that she had the entanglement with made a song about it. So why did he slap him? You know, and he was on the Gayle King show. She asked him, did Jada ever have an affair? He told her, no, she didn't have an affair, because they talk about everything and blah, blah, this and all this and that and whatever, whatever. But from what that little boy said, Will Smith gave his blessings when they had their little entanglement, quote, unquote, their adulterous affair that she had with him. But that's, you know, that's life, and it was a sad situation. I just wish that Will Smith had apologized. Then he sends him a letter or something, apologized. No, you should have. That should have been the first thing that came out of your mouth, Chris. You know, I'm sorry. I just lost it. Please accept my apologies. I'm sorry. But I don't know. All right, so moving along, I also wanted to speak about Kim Kardashian. She made a statement about women need to get off of your effing, you know what, and go to work. Did she forget that that's how she became famous, by being on her butt? People, you know, get to a point where they forget where they come from. Because her and Ray J made that tape. She got famous off of it, and Ray J, he just went on about his business or whatever. I think at one point he did try to muster something up when Kanye had married Kim. He had brought something up or wrote a song about it or put it in some lyrics or something. But Kim Kardashian, all those Kardashians, well, the ones, especially Kim, she's really out there, you know. And her hooking up with Kanye West, I don't even know what that was all about, because Kanye has been crazy for a long time, since his mother. Well, he may have been crazy before his mother died, but when his mother died, it got worse. And he was on medication. Don't take his medication. Talking about he's going to run for president. And people were actually saying they would vote for him. Can you imagine? Just imagine him being the president, what this world would be, what turmoil this world would really be in. Trump was enough. And if Kanye became the president, oh, my goodness, we would, I don't even want to think about that. But, you know, all the things he was saying and then talking about slavery was black people's fault. And okay, so the black people, they put the chains on themselves and got on those boats and came on over here from Africa. Come on, Kanye. But, you know, he just, and then he said he wants to be a billionaire. Okay, I want to be a millionaire. But it's not like I'm going to sell my soul to the devil or do any of the crazy things that some of these entertainers do to get money, you know. But he talking about he want to be a billionaire. And so you're a billionaire, but are you helping people out and doing for people who need money? There are so many people out here that need money, homeless people, people in shelters, women who have been battered and bruised in shelters, children who are in foster care, you know, but they never do anything for those people. What they do is they go to these boys' clubs or ask everybody else to pitch in. Why should rich people ask everybody else to pitch in, and they give up the least money? If you have $1 billion and you donate $10,000 to a charity, what is that all about? That's chump change. If they died 10 times and came back, they still couldn't spend that $1 billion. You know, and I mean, it's a shame because in the Bible it says a rich man has about much ability to get into heaven as a camel getting through the eye of a needle. And you know, ain't no way on God's green earth is a camel going to get through the eye of a needle. And there's another quote in the Bible where this, I forgot his name, but he asked Jesus, how could he be saved? And he said, you know, God told him to obey the commandments. So he said, I do obey all the commandments. He said, okay, now this was a rich person as well. He told him to go and sell everything and give it to the poor. Because just because you obey the commandments, there are things in the commandments that you have to obey as well. You know, if you love your neighbor as you love yourself, you're going to treat your neighbor. If your neighbor don't have any food, you're going to feed your neighbor. If your neighbor has no place to stay, you're going to shelter them. You're going to do things for them like you would do for yourself. You know, don't commit adultery on your best friend's wife or your brother's wife or anybody's wife for that matter. You know, but people say, well, I obey the commandments. I do this and I do that. But anyway, Kim Kardashian and all those Kardashians and the, what are their other names? The Kardashians was by their father, the one who did the O.J. Simpson trial. And then there's, what is their other, the one who transgendered. I can see his name. I'm sorry. I can't call it out, but I'm quite sure you guys know who I'm speaking of. They're just, I don't know. They're just, seem like their mother is a pimp. But, you know, whatever they do, that's what they do. So, and they were talking about J-Lo. J-Lo, now she's a beautiful young lady, but she changes her men like she changed her underwear. just been engaged, married, engaged, married. Then she's back with Ben Affleck. How did that happen? How did she go from J-Rod to Ben Affleck? I mean, go back to him. I wish I could have been a fly on the wall and know what had happened between her and I think his name is, I know he's a baseball player. You guys know who I'm talking about, but anyway, called him J-Rod. What happened between them, because they had gotten engaged as well. And, you know, the children was blending, and they were talking about, I think they even got a home together or something. Then the next thing you hear, she's with, back with Ben Affleck. Wonder how long that's going to last, because they said his engagement he bought her was $10 million. A $10 million engagement ring. Now, if I ever got an engagement ring, I don't care if it came out of a bubblegum thing, because it's not the ring that makes the marriage. But, you know, a ring is just a symbolism of you being married. But for $10 million, just think of what $10 million can do for somebody who needs money, people who need money. He could have split that money up between a lot of people, and helped a lot of people out. But because they have an ongoing supply, a surplus of money, that's what they do. They just get all these lavish things, which, you know, it's really nothing wrong with it. But this is such a thing as sharing and caring and loving and being kind to people who are in need. You know, because one thing for certain, two things are for sure. The shoe can always be on the other foot. It can always be on the other foot. And when it gets on the other foot and you be looking crazy, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. Now my laptop is working, but I don't know if I can switch to my laptop from my phone, but it is working now. That's crazy. That's really crazy. Okay, another rant. Wendy Williams. Now, this is the second time that she left the show. Because the first time I think she left the show was when her husband, when they was, you know, going through that divorce thing. Then all of a sudden she was in a sober living house and this and that and, you know, took all that time off and whatever. And then she made a movie and a little documentary about it. But Wendy Williams, when she talks about people, she really, you know, talks about people, and that's her job. But Wendy Williams waited, and she didn't even tell people that her mother was dead, or her mother had been dead and buried and probably rotten in her grave. I think it was a couple of months before she even told her studio audience that her mother was dead. You know, but somebody else, she gets them on there and grilled them, and then she be asking them all kind of questions and getting in their business. And I remember when, what's that girl's name? That was on the tip of my tongue, the one who worked at the White House. I can't think of her name. But anyway, she was on her show, and she had said something about her before she came out, and it made her angry. So she gave Wendy Williams a run for her money. She had wrote a book, and Wendy Williams was holding the book up. She snatched the book from her, and Then Wendy Williams talked about Beyonce, and she talks about people. She says things that, you know, once you say something, it's like throwing a stone and you can't retrieve it. And in her movie, she had it where some group was waiting for her to get off work one day. It just so happened her husband drove up and saved her. But see, Wendy was going to basically, somebody was going to come after Wendy eventually because she said things about different celebrities that they didn't like. Just like her and NeNe Leakes, they went through a thing, and then all of a sudden she said something about NeNe because NeNe had left the Atlanta Housewives. And Wendy Williams says, well, what is she going to do? She's been on the Atlanta Housewives, blah, 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 da, 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 da. What is she going to do? There's nothing for her to do. She's just going to do nothing. She don't know what she was going to do. So her and NeNe Leakes fell out again, and NeNe Leakes called her a man. NeNe Leakes had no cut cards when it comes to telling somebody off, but she called, and for a while, I actually got to wondering, is she really a man? Because she's tall, she got big hands, she's big for a woman. Not to say they don't have, you know, tall, big women, but even the way she's shaped, you know, because she had a tummy tuck, those big boobs. I don't know why. Who in the world wants, oh, that's just crazy. Her boobs are too big for her body, number one. Then she has lymphedema. Then she has thyroid problems. And I think when she was with her husband, he must have really, really hypnotized her. And I'm not meaning the hypnotized, but you know what I'm saying. Because, like I said, when they was going through that divorce, all of a sudden she had to take off. And she had the guest co-host coming in. So I'm thinking now the reason why she took off was because he's supposed to be marrying his mistress. You know, because there was word of that going around. Then all of a sudden she goes out again. So maybe that's what's going on with her. Then they said somewhere I heard that some of her people had went to her house and she was acting all erratic and masturbating, was naked, and, you know, just doing all kind of crazy things. Then I saw her on a newsreel where she was saying she wanted them to release her money. They have frozen her money because, I don't know, I guess because she's incapable of, you know, carrying on an everyday normal life, I guess. I don't know, but she was talking about she want them to release her money. And, you know, so. But Wendy Williams, she's something. If you didn't see that movie, and then she was on drugs. And they said that she still is, you know, getting drunk. But I don't know about the drugs. It's a possibility that she could be, you know, still went out on a drug binge or whatever. But, you know, she's going through it. She's really going through it. And, you know, like I said, hopefully she will get herself together so she can come back and do her show. But they're saying that her show is supposed to be the last year of her show. I don't know. But nonetheless, that's that. And I also wanted to talk about the war that's over there in Russia with Putin and what Biden said. He said, you know, he was talking about this and talking about that. Then all of a sudden he said, we're going to send billions of dollars over there. When he said that, something just went through me, and I said, what? You mean to tell me people over here are suffering, going through what they're going through? Through the pandemic, there are people who are still out of jobs, people who have been evicted, people who have lost everything, you know, and he's talking about sending billions of dollars over there, and they only gave us 3 checks in 2 years, and we're still going through it. But he's going to send billions of dollars over there to, is it Poland? No, the Ukraine. That is so crazy to me. You need to take your home first. Get all those people that are living in tents in front of the White House, get them in homes. You know, when you're building up all those condos and apartments and houses, build up some for the people who can't afford those ones that you're building $500,000 and $1 million and $2 and $3 million homes. Get those people places as well. Do you know what billions of dollars could do for people over here? We wouldn't have nobody living on the street. We wouldn't have anybody eating out of the garbage cans and sleeping on park benches and taking chances, losing their lives, getting sick or developing mental issues. You know, because there's a lot of people out there, you know, who can't adjust to being in those shelters, because some of those shelters are ruthless, I'm telling you. And I was homeless at one time. Well, I've been homeless a few times, but not living on the street. But I was homeless at one time and went to a shelter. Oh, and that's when I had just had my son and my daughter. She was about 3 years old. We went to this shelter, and I kid you not, it smelled like piss and ammonia. It was just, oh, my goodness. And then it had flying. And when I say flying roaches in it, I said, oh, no. I packed up the little bit of things that we had, and I was going from couch to couch, pillar to post, you know, sleeping here, sleeping there, until eventually I did get my own place. But, you know, people who are in higher authority or people who have never been through anything like the senators and the baboons, which is congressmen, they've never had to go through what people are going through today, being poor, not having enough food and not having enough heat, no hot water. You know, some people living in their apartments don't even have heat in the wintertime, don't have hot water, you know, have bug-infested rats and roaches and bed bugs and things of the nature running around. They don't go through that. How can you give a person $20 worth of food stamps and then turn around and tell them, you know, you get too much money to get more? First of all, what is too much money? It seems to me they're the ones who are getting too much money, you know, and not distributing it the way it should be distributed, because they get a raise, they get vacations, they get this, they get that, and, you know, the poor just are getting poor, the rich are getting richer, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not the way it's supposed to be. But because that's how man wants it to be, that's how it is. You used to have the rich, then you used to have the middle class, and you used to have poor. Now there's rich and poor. There's no more middle class. You're either rich or you poor. Because I know when I lived in D.C., it used to be predominantly white back in, you know, when I first moved to D.C., well, when I was living in D.C., because I'm from D.C. anyway, but when I was younger, we moved into the projects. And all people surrounding us, every neighborhood, they were white. white people, white people, white people. Then all of a sudden, all the white people moved to Maryland because they were allowing some of the black people to, you know, move in some of the places in the neighborhoods where the whites were living, and they didn't appreciate that, so they moved to Maryland. And then it became Chocolate City. Yep, it became Chocolate City. And, you know, it was, you know, it was okay. Now they decided they want to come back to D.C., and they are. They're coming back with a vengeance. There's so much change in D.C. until when I went home, the last time I was home, which was in November of last year. No, it wasn't. I'm sorry. It was February this year. But I've been home since I went home in 2019 and, you know, was seeing changes, driving down the street, and I look over and I say, when did that apartment building get there? When did that house get there? When did this? They're building condos over top of stores. They're building these million-dollar homes, you know, and buying people out of their homes that they've been in forever and tearing them down, building this up or fixing the homes up. And who's moving in them? White people. Or should I say Caucasian? I'm sorry. Caucasian people are moving into them. So D.C., when it used to be, well, it still is a place where you can go and you can be up on this hill. You can see all of D.C. And we would go up there sometimes at night, and then I lived in an apartment, go on the balcony, you could see all of D.C. When I was home not too long ago, I went up there, and it looks like a giant trash can. They rerouted the roads. They built homes everywhere, apartments everywhere, condos everywhere, stores everywhere. It just looked like a giant trash can, and the traffic up there is horrible. It's horrible. So when I go home, I'm scared when I'm driving, because nobody shows no consideration. Everybody act like they have to get here in a minute. So, but I would never move back to D.C., never. And not because, you know, white people live there, but because of the cost of living is gone up. It's so high. I know I couldn't afford it. But, and then it's not appealing to me. You know, some of those places are just, I don't know, just look like a big trash can. Houses everywhere. No. Houses everywhere. Condos everywhere. But that's life. That is life. And, you know, I moved down here in 2016, and like I said, the reason I moved down here was because my landlord that I was renting my house from had died, and his wife wanted to sell the house. So that's when they were starting, they were going through the regentrification. And I knew that it was nowhere that I could afford, because the house I was paying, like, the rent was $8-something. Nice house, 4 bedrooms. Nice big backyard, 6-foot fence, really a nice house for $850 a month. You can't even get an apartment for $850 in D.C. And if you do, it's going to be probably an old apartment where they didn't do no regentrification on it or whatever, because those apartments started at $1,200 for one bedroom, and that's ridiculous. So that's why I moved to North Carolina. I really wanted to move to Atlanta, but I understand that Atlanta is a little lavish too. So this is where God had brought me. And I've been down here since since April 19th, 2016. Been down here 6 years, and loving it. It's very peaceful. Don't have to worry about rush hour traffic. I can drive in the rush hour traffic down here, you know, with no fear. The cost of living is, you know, isn't halfway as high as in D.C. because I have a two-bedroom and my rent is reasonable, very reasonable. I have two cats. And I have a whole brand new family down here from my church. You know, so, you know, everything is good here. Everything is good. And like I said, I will not be moving back to D.C. If I was to come in that area, it would probably be somewhere like in Maryland. That's, you know, if I was. Because D.C. is just too crowded. Too crowded. And I really don't like crowds. I really don't. But anyway, getting back to Biden, everybody's complaining about Biden this, Biden that. But, and I voted, this is my second time ever voting in my life. The first time I voted, I was 19. But the reason I voted this time was to get Trump out of there. I don't care if they put King Kong up in there, as long as they got Trump out of there. Because Trump is definitely has mental issues. He definitely has mental issues. And all the people who voted for him and adore him and worship him and think he was okay, I think it was something wrong with them as well. Because that man, he wasn't right. He wasn't right worth anything. But, you know, like I said, people wanted him in there. He stole his way in there. And that's why he was so afraid, thinking they was going to steal a vote from him, because he know he stole his way in there. He just stole his way in there. But those 4 years went by fast as far as I'm concerned, because I everybody's saying, well, if you didn't want him in there, you should have voted. No, I didn't want him in there, but, you know, what's going to happen is going to happen. God allowed him to be the president for a reason. But see, people didn't pick up on that. They didn't pick up on that. But like I said, there's a lot of things I've learned since I've been down here in North Carolina about God, and continue to learn, continue to keep my faith and trust and hope in God and God alone. You know, I let God guide me and, you know, keep me on the right track. Not to say that I haven't been on the wrong track, because I'm human and I know I'm not perfect, but I strive to do the best that I can do. And, you know, whatever happens is, excuse me, is how God, you know, sees it. So that's that. Anywho, this has been I don't even know how long I've been on, but I guess it's getting near the time for me to close down the show, because, like I said, I'm sorry I couldn't get on the internet and bring up my show, but I just couldn't. And now it's acting okay. But that's it. And hopefully I didn't bore you guys. But I do this ever so often. So with that being said, I'm getting ready to close out the show. And hopefully, you know, when I come back, I'll have a guest or, you know, someone that we all can chime in on. With that being said, everybody have a great evening. And I do apologize again that I could not get on the on my laptop to pull the show up. And like I said, if I bore you, I apologize for that as well. But, like, this is my first time back in a while. And the next time I come on, I will have a guest. Or if you would like to be a guest, drop me an email at gjdelicious37@gmail.com. And if you're trying to promote any type of business that you have, or a book, or, you know, just want to have a topic of discussion, feel free to drop me an email. And again, that email address is gjdelicious37@gmail.com. With that being said, you guys have a great weekend. I love each and every one of you. Don't drink and drive. I like talking to you, not about you. So until we come together again like this, have a great evening. Good night.